Thanks, Mike, very much indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for the second of these. I'm much moved to see many of you back again. That hardly ever happens to me. I was... That's why most I generally do one-offs all over the place for that reason. It keeps my spirits up a bit more. I was down at Southampton recently, a couple of years ago, X years ago, and under a title, we were doing a series of meetings under a title called Whatever You Think John Chapman Is Worth Listening To. Well, I didn't believe that for a moment. And they had an enormous blown-up photograph, well, not quite blown-up of me, but the rest was blown up on the back of double-decker buses. And there I was speaking, and there was a crowd, which I'm sure they'd photographed at a Billy Graham rally somewhere, because they never roll out for me like that. But it was interesting, when I got closer, I was speaking in that direction, the crowd was all looking in that direction. So I felt it was quite right. The other thing too was, on the basis that I was worth listening to, I decided I would listen to myself. So I listened to one of the tapes one night, and do you know that I could well understand that they could market those tapes. I had the best night's sleep I'd had for ages. I was out like a light within 2 seconds. Could I just have an indication of those of you who are here for the first time? Keep them right up, please. I'll get the counsellors ready any minute. All right, thank you. Thank you. You're very welcome indeed. You're very welcome indeed. And that just gives me an indication of what we're going to do in a few moments. For those of you who are terrified out of your wits and didn't quite pick it up last week, let me say that James was not picked at random. That was all pre-arranged. It was all pre-packaged. And it was all pre-practiced. And I'm not going to pick on anybody. Okay, so be calm. You will have to do something today, but not because I've picked on you. Well, we'll leave that for later on. Okay, let's just open the Bibles at 1 Peter 3:15, please. 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter, he's towards the back. Probably best to look it up in the index, isn't it? 2:18. You are marvellous. In the back section. One of my worst nightmares is that I'm reading the lesson in St Andrew's Cathedral in Sydney, and the boy with the wand has come and taken me round, and I'm all there at the lectern, and it's from Obadiah, and I look up the index and someone's ripped it out. And I'm doing the slow turn through the Bible looking for Obadiah. I can feel the Archbishop's foot tapping behind me. And the choristers waiting to sing the next Dimittis or whatever. All right, now have a look at 1 Peter 3:15, please. 1 Peter 3:15. In your heart, reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defence for anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is within you. Okay? Now this comes in the context of people being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's probably not your lot for many of you. And if it is, well, bully for you. And for the rest of us, it's not a bad word. In your heart, reverence Christ as Lord. That's a good beginning place for all evangelism. That I recognise Jesus to be Lord over every part of my life. And, of course, no good telling other people that Jesus is Lord if we're not going to take that seriously ourselves. Then the second thing he says, and that's why we're at a school for evangelism, I take it, is that we want to be equipped to be able to give everybody a reason for the hope that lies within us. That is, when the opportunity comes, we want to be able to tell people about the Lord Jesus. Now, the second thing I want to say then today is this. Why is it that we are so frightened? Of what are we frightened when it comes? The number of people who don't feel apprehensive about doing evangelism, in my experience, are very few indeed. And if you're apprehensive, join the club. There are a lot of us in it. And you're normal. Okay? So I want to try and attack that with a frontal attack. See if we can isolate why it is we're frightened. Well, sometimes we don't know what to say, do we? Now, you know, of course, if you're a teenager, this won't worry you at all, because they will speak on anything for any length of time with a modicum of information. They don't need to have any information at all, do they? That's what's so nice about being a teenager. You can rattle on the whole time whether you know anything about it or not. But you're a pain in the neck if you do it when you're an adult. You see, when we become adults, we know perfectly well that it's not good form to rattle on if you don't know what you're talking about. And so part of the fear of addressing people about the things of God is that we actually don't know what to say. Now, I remember that only too clearly. A friend of ours who was a communist at home accosted me one day on a railway station. She was a friend of the family's. And she said, "Is it true that you are Christian?" I said, "It is true, yes." She said, "Well, what do you believe?" And you know, all my life at church I'd been reciting it, and it never occurred to me that that's what I was doing. I mean, I could have said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ." And my bad outline is it, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And it never occurred to me that that's what I was doing when I said the creed Sunday by Sunday. But I'm a very small brain. And I was embarrassed. And I felt I'd let the show down. And you know why I felt embarrassed and that I'd let the show down? Because I had. That's exactly the way I should have felt. You see, I hadn't done what Peter is calling on us to do. I hadn't taken the trouble in my own mind to work out what I would say when somebody actually asked me. I didn't even have to do the running. She walked up and said to me, I remember I'd been a Christian for a couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 months. I was away on a weekend conference and a girl said to me, "You Christian?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Can you tell me how to become a Christian?" Do you know, I didn't have the faintest idea where to go. I said, "No, I can't. But I can take you to somebody who can." And I took her to a friend of mine, and with great care, and I may say a great deal of skill and finesse, I saw her lead this girl to Christ before my very eyes. I remember in my prayers that night, I said to God, "This will never, never happen to me again. I give you my word that I will become equipped to do this." Mind you, hardly anyone's ever come and asked me again. That's always the way of it, isn't it? Always the way of it, and you get ready. All right, so I'm saying, if we don't know what to say, we're going to rectify that. I hope already we've rectified it, for those of you who were here last week, that already you've started to put together your little story about how you came to Christ, what I was like before, what Jesus did and how I responded, what it's like now. That's the first basic and simplest way to do it. I'm going to suggest another outline before we finish. But that's not the only reason, is it? Some of you know perfectly well what to say, but that is not the problem. Isn't it that we're frightened that we'll put people off? We'll do it all right, but in such a way that they'll never ask anybody again. I wonder if you'd go with me to Colossians 4:6. Because there's an interesting piece of information here which I hope will help us all. It's on page 190 in the back section. "Conduct yourself wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious." That's the mark, isn't it? People are not going to be put off if we're gracious. Not going to be put off if we're polite. Seasoned with salt. That's got something to say. Won't be insipid. "So that you may know how you ought to answer everybody." Now we're not only told that there's a certain content that's got to be said, but there's a way to say it graciously. I think our biggest fear is, isn't it though, that we'll be rejected. My biggest fear is that I'll tell people the gospel and we won't be friends anymore. I'll be rejected. And I bet it's your big fear too. So let me see if there's a way that we can help each other in this. What's so bad about being rejected? Well, it makes you feel as if you're not all that important. That somehow or other, I am diminished as a person if I'm rejected by other people. And I just want to say, that is untrue. If you all rose as a person and stomped out now, and I'm left here with egg all over my face, that will probably be hard for me to bear for a few seconds, till I remind myself that your accepting of me does not make me valuable, and your rejection of me does not make me less valuable. I am valuable because God has set his love upon me in Christ. And you might need to minister that to yourself when other people reject you. I am important today, I am valuable today, because God has declared me to be valuable, setting his love upon me in Christ. And that's what the Romans 5 is. You can look that up later. God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well then, let me say, what do you think we ought to do? Well, first of all, we ought to prepare ourselves by taking the 1 Peter 3:15 seriously. And the way to make sure that you know how to do something is to learn it. Okay? It's as simple as that, isn't it? All good spontaneity has been learned, hasn't it? Did you know that? The best spontaneity is the one that's learned. I remember being on beach mission on one occasion, and the person who was to give the beach talk that day got sick at the last minute, or I had an accident, I forget what it was, and our beach mission leader got up and gave one of those copybook talks. You know, it was just utterly brilliant. Picked up a few teaching aids along the way, a twig, a piece of branch of a tree, and he gave one of those brilliant talks, like they do at teachers' college when you go to observe lessons, with illustrations squandered right, left and centre as if they're going out of fashion. Just brilliant. And one of the members of the team said to me on the way back, "Wouldn't you give anything to be able to give talks like that off the cuff?" I said, "I certainly would, and so would he." I said, "He even knew when to pause for people to laugh." I said, "That talk is so well worn it raised its hat to him as it saw it coming. It's such a dear old friend." I said, all good spontaneity is practice. So that's what we're going to do. It's one of the reasons why we're going to practice, is so that when the time comes, I don't have to think about what I want to say. I can keep thinking about you. I know what to say. I'm not desperately trying to dredge one of Chappo's talks up from the bottom of the pit. We won't have to do that with Dick, it'll spring to mind immediately. And if it doesn't completely spring to mind, we're going to make sure that we've got it learned. Okay, next thing I want to say is this. We need to pray for boldness. You feel as if you're a timid person? I feel like that. I'm as bold as brass when you give me the microphone and the pulpit. Okay, it's when you get into the one-to-one that I go completely to water and generally round about the knees. Brain, that has been all the time. Will you go to Acts chapter 4, please? Acts chapter 4. Let me fill you in the context of this while you're looking it up. In Acts chapter 4, this follows the man who's been healed at the Gate Beautiful. And you remember the preaching that follows that? Then there's the arrest of Peter and John, and they've been very bold. The authorities say they're not to preach any longer in the name of Jesus, and you remember that great statement of Peter? "You must judge whether we'll do what is right in your eyes or in the eyes of God, but we cannot help but speak
All right, it's very bold indeed. And they go home and they relay all of this to their friends when they go home. And then they fall to prayer, and somebody was astute enough to remember the content of the prayer. And it's written down for us. And their mind is focused on the fact that this council that has just given them the rough up was the council which had manufactured the death of the Lord Jesus. They were very skillful, that council, in getting their own way. And I'm positive it scared the daylights out of them. And it did scare the daylights out of them, because look how their prayer goes in verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to speak thy word with all boldness. That's a good prayer to pray, isn't it? Give me the ability to speak boldly. And if you cast your weather eye down to verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was fit where they were gathered, shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. That's a pretty good answer to prayer, isn't it? That's what they did. Now, if you're a timid person, I want to encourage you to ask God to give you boldness. Okay? Don't look so glum. It's good when you get it. And look like that. All right, that's a bit better. Just a vague smile every once in a while. Or are you frightened to ask him in case the answer's yes? Yes, quite right. Mike Farmer knows it is. Can I say the other thing I want to ask you to do is to ask other people to pray for you too, that this will happen. And that's what the Ephesians 6:19 passage is, which you can look up for yourself at a moment. The Apostle Paul says, and pray for me that I will preach it boldly, the gospel, as I ought to. Pray for me that I will preach it boldly as I ought. And I'm going to say that those two things together, the preparing of ourself and prayer, are the way to counteract our fears. That we ask God to give us boldness and we pray for one another. All right? Now, I want to ask you to do something now, and it's especially about the people who were here last week. Remember, I asked you to prepare your story, just very briefly. James did it quite competently last week for us, and it took 3 minutes. And I want you to share it with the person sitting next to you or behind you in the 3 minute slot. Now, those of you who are here for the first time won't be able to do that, so see if you can latch yourself onto somebody who was here. All right? So, will all the people who were here last week, you might like to put your hand up, so the people who weren't here last week can latch onto you. And I think to do this... Now, wait a moment. Hands down, everybody. I don't want any cheating now. I want you to put your hand against your heart. I want you to all say after me, I, N-R-M, do solemnly swear that as my hand raises, I was here last week. Okay. Those of you who were here last week, hand straight up. All right. Now, I think the best way for us to do this is for everybody to stand up now. Okay. Everybody stands up. And people in the front row can turn around and look at the people in the next row. That's the idea. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. All right, now if you weren't here last week, this is the greatest break for you. If you were here last week, I want you to quickly practice with the person you're looking at your story. Remember, what I was like before, what Jesus did for me and how I responded, what I'm like now, and you've got 3 minutes to do it. Go now. Don't introduce yourself, speak. May I have your attention, ladies and gentlemen, please? May I have your attention, please? It's half time. If you haven't finished, you need to get it whittled down. If you haven't finished your story, you need to whittle it down because you've had your time. Let the other person have a go now, will you? It's your time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Thank you very much indeed. Please don't sit down unless you are seated. There's another exercise I'd like you to do. On the very bottom of the sheet... Oh, perhaps we will sit down. Just sit down, please. Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for the opportunity, because now you've actually done it with somebody. And if you can do it with them, you can do it. Is that right? Right? If you were the recipient of one that you couldn't make any sense out of, you might like to say to the person that it'd be helpful to give a little brush up. All right? That's what Christian fellowship is about. You see, if they were Australians, they'd say, John, that was completely on the conch. Why don't you get it done properly? On the nose. On the nose. Not good. Not good. Okay? If it was a helpful one, tell them before you leave. And that'll encourage them to look for an opportunity to share it with somebody else. Now, that brings me to the dotted line along the bottom. You thought it was so you could sign your name on it, didn't you? For those of you who've signed your name on it already, you need to think about the fact that you must stop signing your name every time you see a dotted line. Okay? That's something else. That's something else you need to learn. That space is, would you write down the name of a friend at work or at home that during the course of these 5 weeks you're going to take the opportunity to share the gospel with them? And you'll pray to that end. Okay? I'd like to write that name down. Thank you for that exercise. Would you like to tell the person sitting next to you the name of the friend so that you can pray for their friend and they can pray for you and yours? Now, I know you won't be sitting next to each other next week. And I know this is a far cry. And if there's a reason why you don't want to tell the person next to you because you've written their name down, don't have a nervous breakdown over it. But I'm saying, what I'm aiming for is that you're going to pray for the person and you're going to pray for somebody else's person. That during the course of this course, we'll look for an opportunity to share the gospel with them. I've spoken about praying for boldness, and now I'm saying, would you just like to share that with the person you've been speaking to and ask them if they'd be kind? Don't give them a world's history. God knows all about the world history. Just get the name and remember it in your prayers day by day and the person sitting next to you. Do you think you could try that? Can I say from now on, I'm not going to do anything harder than this? Okay, so don't have a nervous breakdown. Say every week it gets a bit harder than the week before. Okay? What'll it be like on the fifth one? He'll rush us all out in the square. We'll have to grab somebody. Can I say, it's never going to be this is the hardest thing I'm going to ask you to do. Okay? Would you like to share that quickly? I've got some more things I want to say, so do that really pronto, will you please? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, drop dead, chappo. What's the use, mate? What am I against odds like this? Ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Shh. Thank you. If you haven't caught up with that, you might like to catch up with it on the way back to work or afterwards. There are 2 more minutes to go before we finish. I want to say thank you for your cooperation, and I want to ask you next week to have a look on your brochure. You will see what do Christians believe is the first thing when you open it. It's another alternative outline. One night I was driving back. I'd been to a meeting. There was a man hitchhiking and it had just started to rain. And as I saw him down there, I thought, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to pray for an opportunity to share the gospel with you. I opened the car, popped him in. If I'm going to share the gospel with him, I must start speaking. I must not let him take the initiative, because the number of people, when you pick them up in the car, who say to you, good sir or madam, what must I do to be saved, are so few and far between that you can discount it. What sort of a night have you had, mate? He said, so-so. That's finished that conversation. So that's not going to go anywhere, is it? I said, that's life, isn't it? You win a few, you lose a few. I got to start again. What do you do for a living? I'm a stuntman in movies. I said, honest? Talk, don't waste my time. Talk. You ever met a stuntman in movies? That's the people who've met a stuntman in movies here. See how lucky I was? Hardly anybody. I said, where about you going? He said, Cronulla. Where are you going? I said, I'm taking you to Cronulla. I want to find out all about it. And he started to talk about his work, and I made the fatal mistake of saying, what is the life expectancy of a stuntman? I meant to say, how long are you physically fit to do this? Anyway, yakety yak yak. After a little while, he said, what do you do? Well, all the time I've been praying that I'll get an opportunity to say the gospel, and I'm not very subtle, and I've asked God not to be subtle with me in answering the prayers. So I wondered if this was the time. Not sure. So I said, I work for the Anglican Church. Doing what? He says. Well, that's not all that easy to answer, is it? I said, they pay me to persuade people to become Christians. Strike, he said, they must be hard up. He said, you any good at it? I said, I win a few, I lose a few. He said, that's life, isn't it? Nobody is more conscious than I am that I haven't said anything that even gets us to the gospel. I'm saying, Heavenly Father, if you want me to tell him the gospel, you push the door open and let me know that the time has come. He said, how do you go about doing that? Well, do you sound right now? I said, some people invite friends to supper and I just tell them. He said, what do you say to them? That's a fairly clear answer to prayer, isn't it? There are five things I tell them. And you'll find them listed down there. And I'll give you the last part of the story when we come back next week. Okay? Here's a quick way to learn this outline. God, people, God, what if you don't, what if you do? God, people, God, what if you don't, what if you do? Can you say that? Can you say it, Mike? What if you don't, what if you do? God, people, God, what? You see, he's already learned it. Hey, without even looking. Okay. Why don't I say a prayer and we'll call it a day. Our Heavenly Father, we pray today that you will give us boldness so that in spite of our fear, we will be able to give people the reason for the hope that lies within us. And Father, we pray now, because we've shared with each other people we're going to try and speak to for Christ, that you will open up ways for us to do that. Please help us to do it graciously, in a way which commends you and the gospel. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay. If you weren't here last week, make sure you get last week's handout. And if you bring this back with you next week, or get yourself a new one, have a great day for the rest of the day.